Continuing in the book of Galatians, we come to chapter 4, verse 1. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Remember, he had finished the previous chapter. If you are Christ, Abraham's seed, heirs according to the promise, you will be a father of many nations. Now, interesting here, I already brought up the things that Jesus spoke about. I quoted a lot. I don't think I actually referenced where it's from, but it's from John chapter 8, in which he is addressing the Pharisees in a sort of a back and forth dialogue. And he says, "Whosoever commits sin is the servant of sin. But the servant does not abide in the house forever, but the Son abides forever." So just interesting here how he says, now I say the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant. Interesting. It says, now here we are as believers in Christ. We're going to become partakers of the divine nature. And we really, as children, meaning early in life, or even you can be an old man and still be early in life as far as God's concerned, but prior to the grace of God appearing in our lives, we differ nothing from a servant. We differ nothing from a servant of sin, because we are all made subject to sin. As verse 22 of the previous chapter had said, but God hath concluded, the scripture actually, hath concluded all under sin. So though in the foreknowledge of God, and in the according to predestination, you may be heir, co-heir with Christ, and Lord of all, so to speak, because if you are a son of God, then you are his heir. And God owns everything. That means you are heir of all. And though the Son be heir of all, yet still, when he is still a child, he's what? Under tutors and governors. Tutors, it's someone, a domestic manager, a guardian of some sort. And governors, who's appointed, you're imagining a wealthy family where they actually, they pay someone, here, you watch my child. Tutors and governors, okay. Verse 3, even so, we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. And see, then again, and bondage literally means enslaved. And that's the difference, see, that in the Christian walk, as it is written, sin shall not have dominion over you. There's these powerful words used, dominion, servitude, that being servant to something, this meant a lot in a time when, slavery was very common throughout the Roman Empire. We still understand slavery today, and it's still common in many parts of the world. Though not, not as obviously, it's the kind of thing people like to keep hidden and don't talk about much. But it's still alive and well to this day. So under the elements of the world, what are the elements of the world? It is the rudimentary things. It is literally means. Well, it's the orderly in the arrangement. I mean, the way things are ordered in the world, the way the world order as we know it. We are in bondage to that. We are under that. And we were children. But when the fullness of time was come, that means there's a fullness of time. It's not exactly how long that time is. It's never really detailed, because for each person it could be a different time, a different place. Right? But God sent forth his Son. And in this case, concerning the Son of God, obviously there was the appointed time for him to come, made of a woman, made under the law. Remember, in Paul's generation, this is literally happened in his time. That was the fullness of time. In our life, fullness of time may be, you know, in our young adulthood, or as we age, or many, you know, it can come all sorts of different times in life. But they sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. Christ was lived his life completely as a Hebrew. He followed, it's interesting the ways in which he sort of bent the law. Like, you know, the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath, which isn't, you know, some things he just took ownership of. Other things, as far as we know, that he was just obedient to, as simple as that. So to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoptions of sons. And notice he says, to redeem them that were under the law, he doesn't really make a distinction between the Gentiles here, as if, because he's talking mostly to Gentiles in Galatia, as we've kind of seen throughout that, you know, that these are not compelled to be circumcised or to follow these Old Testament laws. He says that, and then says them that were under the law, because as I've said on other occasions, even the people who did not have the Old Testament law, or let's say people who don't believe in the Bible, they still have laws. There are civil laws in our government, which make you bad or good. We even have our own little social mores, you know, and social taboos that people abide by or break, and the breaking of them makes you a sinner, so to speak. I mean, people don't really like the word sinner much anymore, because it's so associated with that yucky thing, religion, which is another bad word to a lot of people today. I was like that. When I was young, I was like, well, I'm not religious. I'm spiritual, or I'm this, I'm that. And it's just, you're just mincing words. I'm a religious person, okay? You know, we can mince words and dance around the meaning, but it's like, if you want, you know, what does religious mean? It's like,